Georgia.
And he is actually Linda's brother. So I'm going to leave it there or I'll connect them again by marriage.
Greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. The name that is above all names and the only name that needs to be honored and glorified. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And while you are turning in your Bibles to that, I'm going to read another verse. I'm going to read a verse from Acts chapter 20. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So are you ready to stay that long? No. No, not at all. Well, I don't plan to keep you that long either. But I thought you might want to know that it might be a few minutes more than the other evening, but maybe not too much longer. All right. I'd like to look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and read just a few verses there, starting with verse 1. And I have different versions at home. But when it comes to preaching, I'm still the most familiar with my old King James Version Bible. So that's what I'll be reading from. But I think in the version that you have, you'll be able to follow along as well. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And we're going to stop there this morning. And so some of these things may be directed more toward Harley and his new, not completely new role, but an additional sense of that. Some of it will be directed toward the congregation. Now, 1 Peter is probably one of the earlier books that was actually recorded and written. And if you know anything about Peter as a man, he usually entered the room, as we would say, mouth first. He would speak twice and think once. And Jesus had some admonition for Peter. And if you go to Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 24, he's talking to them because there was contention among them. Who should be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest among us? Then he comes along in the latter part of that chapter, the latter part of those verses and referring to 24 through 34. And he tells Peter, he said, Satan wants to have you. Satan wants to have you. But I have desired you. And you're going to be sifted this week. You're going to experience some shaking times. And He said, strengthen the brethren. And I'm saying this because of the way Peter's personality was at one point in time, and then what we see written in his epistle. Later on in John chapter, the last chapter in John, Jesus tells him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So Peter experienced some difficult times, but Jesus had some encouraging words for him. Now we come to the epistle, and Peter is a completely changed man. Peter's completely different. And now he senses his responsibility. He senses his care for the people. He senses the needs of the people, and he's concerned about that. He's concerned about that. And so he says, do it of a willing mind. Not for money's sake. Do it because you love. Do it because you have compassion. And he's writing this to the churches throughout Galatia, the Galatian region. He's saying that to them because he cares for them. So what I share this morning to leadership can also be taken by non-leadership, but especially for leadership. And the first point I'd like to make is, it's important to feed the flock. It's important to feed the flock. Now, we know all about feeding and eating. We know all about that. We as Mennonite people are quite adept at that. We know what it is. But I'll tell you one thing. If I wouldn't have had anything to eat since Friday evening, I probably wouldn't be up here this morning. I probably wouldn't be. Because physical things are important. But now he's saying, feed the flock. Don't just have gatherings together. Now, are you a congregation here? Would you call yourself a congregation? Are you more than a congregation? What are you? You are a brotherhood. Now, people can congregate and come together. People can congregate and come together. But there's something that's much more valuable than just congregating, and that's being a brotherhood. That's being a brotherhood. And that's where all this comes together. That's one of the things that often stands out to other people is the brotherhood aspect of our fellowships. The brotherhood aspect. Many people can congregate, and when the amen is said, they disperse very quickly. They disperse very quickly. But there's a benefit and a blessing in being a brotherhood. Not just a congregation, but a brotherhood. And so in feeding the flock, you help bring that about. So, all I can say is, make sure your diet is well balanced. I mean, there's times when you need to preach salvation messages. There's times when you need to preach doctrinal messages. There's times when you need to preach reproof messages. Other times that you can preach victory messages, encouragement messages, and then temptation messages. So your diet needs to be well balanced and created so that it's beneficial to the group as a whole. If you preach salvation only, the food becomes a little bit off balance. The congregation becomes off balance. All right, beyond that, be a servant leader. Be a servant leader. The word minister means to serve. It means to serve. And there's numerous expressions. James, a servant of God, or be a servant of God. It means be a minister, be a servant person. Now, obviously, when a person is chosen to be in leadership, it places an additional responsibility. And some people take that responsibility and become, how do I want to say this? They use it for their personal gain or for their personal glory. And that takes away the servanthood aspect of it. So we are encouraged as brethren who are in leadership to have servant hearts, to serve according to that servant heart, and to be a servant to the people. Jesus himself was a servant when he washed their feet. He was a servant. And so it needs to be that there's a servant heart. He said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. There needs to be that servant heart. All right. The minister needs to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you have animals, you have a fence, or generally have a fence. You may have a barbed wire fence. You may have a woven wire fence. You may have an electric fence. And if you have a dog, you may have an underground fence that keeps the dog. But often there is a fence. And every animal will try the fence. every animal will try the fence. And it keeps them within their grounds. Now, why do I say that? Because sometimes we allow the fence to be our guide instead of the Holy Spirit to be our guide. We allow the fence to control us rather than the Holy Spirit to be our controller. But as Christians and as Christian people and as Christian leaders, our direction needs to come through by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That's how it needs to come. And we need to allow that Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to direct us. Now, am I saying offense is wrong? No, I'm not saying offense is wrong. What I'm saying is, the fence is not your ultimate guide. The Holy Spirit is. That's who needs to guide us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. All truth. And that's what the Spirit's work is. Just for example, what Dale read in devotional this morning. The first part of that chapter. He was talking about the spirits, that there are false spirits. And Satan will try to send imitating spirits into a group, into a congregation, and will try to feed the congregation with imitation spirits. But he said, make sure that the Holy Spirit is the one that's ultimately guiding you. And then you need to be sensitive. You need to be sensitive. Various means of sensitivity. One of the things that many of us struggle in is, I don't understand why you don't see it as I do. I don't know what's wrong with you that you can't fathom what I'm trying to say, that you can't perceive it the same way that I perceive it. What's wrong with you that you don't see that? And so when we do that, then we become insensitive to the other person's thinking, the other person's feelings. And Paul said, I mean, if meat makes a person to offend, I won't eat meat. I'll be sensitive to the other person. So as leaders, we need to be sensitive. We need to be sensitive to the congregation's need. We need to be sensitive to individual people's needs. We need to understand the different circumstances. There may be material needs. There may be financial needs. There may be emotional needs. But there's definitely going to be spiritual needs. And we need to be sensitive to that. We need to be sensitive to those needs that are there. And make sure that we take care of it. And there may be times that there's even good old financial needs. Good old financial needs that we need to be concerned about. The next one I'd like to address is, you will be called upon and asked to preach the word. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And so my challenge this morning is, handle the word of God with reverence and awe. Handle the word of God with reverence and awe. We have been called to be stewards or managers. We have been called to teach. We have been called to preach. We have been called to manage God's word carefully. And so, we're not to take God's word, misrepresent it, and mistreat it. I personally, this is just personal, struggle if somebody takes a Bible and just throws it down on a bench or throws it on a table. That's just personal. Because I feel as Christians, this is our lifeblood. And so treat it with care and with reverence, because it is God's word, God speaking to us. Now, another book may be a little bit different, but I feel that as the in regards to the Bible, we need to treat it with respect and with reverence. Now, you know, I know that if you have a Bible cover, which I do, and sometimes the Bible cover is out, is open, and it may slip out, but that's a little bit different than just allowing it or you personally making an effort to just throw it somewhere. Preaching God's word is a call that is necessary for every Christian to hear. God's word being shared is necessary for every Christian to hear. The next thing is, be a uniter and not a divider. As a minister, be a uniter and not a divider. And I know personally what it means in a ministerial team for a team to work together well and for a team not to work together well. I know personally what it means for people of the congregation to try to get between the ministry and try to divide the ministry. I know what that is. But as a minister of God's word, it's our intent to unite and bring everybody together. Bring everybody together, not to divide, not to separate. So put forth a concentrated effort to be a uniter and not a divider. I mean, again, there was contention among the disciples. They were the called ones of the disciples. Well, which one of us is going to be the greatest? Which one of us is going to have the lead role? Can we sit on either side of you, Jesus, on your throne? So it caused conflict. So be a uniter and not a divider. And probably the most important one is, as a minister, pray for your flock. Pray for your flock. Remember them in prayer. The book of Romans, Paul says, I remember you without ceasing. That's the general group. He was talking to the Roman church as a whole. In the book of Timothy, he tells Timothy, I pray for you without ceasing. So at times, a minister will be praying for the whole congregation. At other times, you'll be praying for a specific person within the congregation. But pray for your flock. It's important to pray for your flock, to minister to them in that way, to share with them. Be an example. Now, Harley, your children have been in your home for numerous years, some short times, some long times. Longer times, not long times, but longer times. They've seen you as a non-minister. In the past year, they've probably seen that change. There's a role change there. And it will be that change going forward. And I know in our own personal family, our children knew nothing except being PKs, if you want to use that expression. And there are times that your family may be looked upon and say, well, they're preacher's children now. They need to behave themselves. They'll be looked upon saying, uh-oh, they're different now than they were, but they're not. They're still the same children. They're still the same children. They still have the same struggle. They still have the same difficulties. But somehow in our minds we think, well, because he's a preacher and he needs to be an example, that automatically transfers everything to his children as well. And I'm not saying that there's not some value to that, but it's not fair, and I think you all know that, to exact that same thing because children are children. And so, as a minister, we implore our children to be examples, and we try by the grace of God to be that example. But Peter said there in 1 Peter 5, being ensamples to the flock. And that basically means being an example to the flock so they can see. And because of your former example, they have asked you by their voice to become their minister. Because of your example. And that's a great credit. That's a great testimony. And the challenge is to continue to be that example or that ensample. So, to you, I'd like to use four words for you in regards to you as a minister. Study. Read. Pray. And sacrifice. Study. Read, pray, and sacrifice. And I'll just tell you this. If you get up here to share a message and you haven't properly prepared yourself, the only one you're fooling is yourself. The people will know it. The people will sense it. So that's why I say study, read, pray, and then sacrifice. The example of Epaphroditus that's written about in the book of Philippians, Paul said he wanted to come to you so bad. Even in his sickness, he was willing to sacrifice and come visit you because he was nigh unto death, but he felt it was important to come. He felt it was important to sacrifice himself for the cause of the brotherhood, for the cause of the church. He was willing to do that. So there's going to be times that you'll be asked to sacrifice in a way that the family was normally not used to sacrificing, maybe more so in the last year, but not normally, not before that time, as much sacrificing. So study, read, spend much time in prayer, and be willing to sacrifice for the cause of the brotherhood. Now, just a little bit yet to the congregation. Does everybody here know what they're supposed to do for their leadership? And I want to say one thing. It's a blessing to me to hear the congregational / brotherhood effort that you have been giving in regards to the thrift store. That's a tremendous blessing. That means I am willing to give for the sake of the whole group. I'm willing to give for the sake of the brotherhood to help out. That is tremendous. That's a tremendous testimony. And I want you to encourage you for that, encourage you in regards to that. But there's just a few things. Pray for your leaders, which you already know. Pray for them diligently. Pray that they might have wisdom. Pray that they might have discernment. Pray that they might have courage. Pray that they might have understanding and enlightenment. Pray that they might feed you. Pray for them continually. Give support and assistance. Give support and assistance. And I think this is not just in I'm praying for you, brother, that kind of support. Sometimes it means getting your hands dirty, and sometimes it means giving them money. Now, we don't have salaried ministry, but it doesn't mean that the minister doesn't have financial needs. So, this morning's offering based on it, what was given, You might have thought you were giving to the school, but evidently you were giving for the ministerial aid. So I don't know if you gave enough or didn't. But there is a sense in which the brotherhood can contribute and help them out by kind words, kind notes, cards, words of encouragement, but also financially. It's extremely important. Now, just don't take for granted what work they're doing. Don't take it for granted. Our children at home, as they were growing up, knew that usually Saturday was a day that Dad was in the study. Dad was in the study. They knew that. And they adapted accordingly. So there are times that the minister will be studying, devoting time to praying, devoting time in preparation. As a congregation, don't take that for granted. Don't take it for granted. Now, be pliable and compliant. You know, you have dough that you can shape into different things, or putty that you can shape into different things. And it's pliable. After a certain point, it may not be as pliable anymore. But be pliable and compliant. Now, I want to just say one thing. You can take the word compliant and change two letters around and you get complaint. From compliant to complaint. And it's often the latter is easier to be than the first, than the former. But I'm challenging you, be compliant, not be complaint. Consider that. And then don't isolate them from you. They need you just now as much as they did before. Don't isolate yourself from them. There are times when you think, well, he's ordained now. It's different. And it may be somewhat different. But it's not altogether different. The roles may be changed and responsibilities may be changed, but the people are still the same. The people are still the same. So don't isolate yourself from them. Don't include, not include them. Include them, because they need it just as much now as before. Don't elevate or don't destroy. If you elevate them, they can fall from a pedestal. If you destroy them, it can bring about division. So don't elevate and don't destroy, but continue to pray. And again, give support, give encouragement, show appreciation, and be compliant. Be pliable and compliant. Lastly, the last point, and I'll close. Remember, you are a body. Therefore, work together as members. You are a body. Therefore, work together as members. Honor your leaders. Pray for them. Just don't put them on a pedestal. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning for your will to be done. We pray for Harley. We pray for Janice. We pray for their family. We pray for the congregation here. And for the special service this morning, knowing there will be another special service this evening, thy will be done. May your name be glorified. May the brotherhood be strengthened. And may the church and its borders be enlarged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning to you. I'm here for several weeks now. We've been looking forward to this occurrence, and I understand that
When you have church leadership changes and additions, that can cause some anxieties too. But you nominate someone that you know, someone you trust. That doesn't mean you always agree, you're always in the same page they are, but you trust them. So we're here this morning to proceed with that as far as from Biblical Mennonite Alliance. And Brother Larry, if you would come join me up here to the side. I'd like to ask, I've been doing this the last several times I've done ordinations and licensures. Several things have been said to children this morning, and that is appropriate. And tonight, Lord willing, will be some more things said for Curtis's children. But I'd like to give Brother Irvin an opportunity as a grandfather, not so much as a pastor, he's that too, but as a grandfather to come pray with Brother Harley and Sister Janice's children. So children, young people, come up here to the front. I'd like to have your grandfather come pray for you at this time. I appreciate what Brother Larry said. Thank you. It doesn't mean that there are still children. There's still life that's there as such. But I think that it's important that we make knowledge of that, make a point of this. Brother.
Father, we're grateful this morning for your presence, and we're grateful for your blessings and for your help in our lives. And I thank you for Tristan, for Logan, for Kendall, for Declan, and Nicole. I pray a blessing on them as their family dynamics have changed and maybe will continue to change, that they can adapt and that they can accept the role that their dad has been called to. I just pray a special blessing of protection on their lives as they adjust to this, and I pray that you would care for them, keep them, and protect them from the enemy, and help them to be a blessing and a support to their dad in his ministry. So I just pray, bless them in a special way. Thank you for them. And may you receive glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Irvin, and I appreciate the commitment for you as a church family to pray for them as their family. Brother Harley and Sister Janice, if you would come up this time, we would like to ask you these vows. As you know, New Holland, somewhere in this area, New Holland, part of the Biblical Mennonite Alliance, and I think it's a good fellowship. It's not the only good one. There's many others out there, I think, but one that I feel that I can identify with for nearly 20 years. I believe it has merit, and so we come in their name as well as an overseer for the region. Brother Harley, the Lord through the church has called you to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are ready to ordain and commission you for this great work. Your answer to the following questions will constitute your vows to the Lord and to the church in acceptance of this call and your pledge of faithful service. Harley, are you willing to accept the call to this service and by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to give yourself diligently to the work of the Lord as a faithful minister in His church? Do you promise to study the Word of God faithfully, to give heed to its teachings, making them the guide of your own life, teaching them diligently to all who may come under your care, and witnessing faithfully as you have opportunity? And last, are you willing to conduct the congregation or perform other work to which you may be assigned in accordance with the teachings of the Scripture as interpreted and practiced by the Biblical Mennonite Alliance, seeking at all times and in all things to show yourself an approved servant in the vineyard of the Lord? Sister Janice, the work of the minister of the gospel may be greatly helped or hindered by the attitude and support of the spouse. You will share in the dedication of your partner's calling when you will you answer these questions as your vows. Do you concur with your spouse the sense of call to this ministry? And do you likewise dedicate yourself wholeheartedly to this service as a call from the Lord? Are you willing to make the necessary sacrifices of your own time and convenience that the work of the Lord may be given first place? Are you ready to be a true partner and helper with your spouse in the promotion of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus? I'd like to ask Brother Irvin and Brother Dale to come up, and Brother Harley and Janice, if you would kneel here, we'd appreciate that. As we prepare to give the charge to Harley, and I remember, like all ministers who have been ordained, that day, that year, I remember that, and I probably never will forget that. When God has called you to be a minister, we know we're not special, we're not perfect, make mistakes just like we did before we're called. But this is a serious calling, this before God, and we'll go over to Harley the rest of his life, barring any major issues in life. Harley, upon this confession and these promises which you have now made before God and these witnesses, we herewith charge and ordain you as a minister of the gospel. Preach the word in its purity. Warn the sinners. Admonish the unconverted to repent. Teach, instruct, comfort, encourage the believers. Visit the sick and afflicted. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Likewise, give heed unto thyself. Walk circumspectly. Read the word. Meditate upon its precious precepts. Pray without ceasing. And in all these things, seek to be a faithful laborer in the vineyard of the Lord. Continue in these things, for in so doing, thou shalt save both thyself and those that hear thee. Brethren, would you lead out in prayer? Brother Dale, would you close?
Father, we come to you this morning in a special way, dedicating Brother Harley and Sister Janice to your work, to your call upon their lives, and to the work here at the New Holland Congregation. Lord, we just pray for your special blessing to rest upon them and on the people as a whole. We say that we want to praise you for your faithfulness in this situation and say, thy will be done.
Thank you, Father, again, for Harley's willingness to be a part of the leadership here at New Holland and for Janice to support him. We pray, God, your blessing on their lives and pray for continued guidance and leadership and direction. And God, give them grace and enable them. Thank you for your promise that you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, thank you for your leadership, and may you bless their lives.
Father, this morning we come to you realizing and recognizing that you, first of all, are God, and that you hold all of our life in your hands. We recognize that 20-some years ago, you brought Harley here in what we thought was a temporary time. And you called him to stay here. You called him and Janice together to start a family, to continue to be here as part of this church. God, none of us knew then what we know today. That we have seen you work in Harley's life and in Janice's life. We've seen you lead them. We've seen you guide them. We've seen them submit to you and to your leadership. And this morning as a church, we surround them. We ask you to continue to guide them, to continue to place a hedge of protection around them, their children. And as a church, we commit to pray for them. We ask that you would help them in the days ahead Yes, it's been a transitional year for them, and yet this is another part of that transition. And so we just pray that you would continue to lead them, continue to help Harley to have a heart to serve, a heart of humility, a heart that is willing to hear and listen, and a heart that is open to you. We pray for Janice as she supports him. Help her, God, to have that same heart, the same willingness to serve this church as long as you keep them here. We commit them and their children to you, as well as the church here at New Holland, and ask you for your continued guidance and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, Harley, step your stand. Someone help Janice there. Bless you, brother. We love you. Thank you all. God's kingdom as you serve him. Bless you very much. I ask now the spouses of the ministers up here to come up and greet these people, especially Sister Janice. Wish you well as a church family. I've come so often, I'm getting to know more and more of you. I feel like part of your family, and we're grateful to be that part. And I look forward to the months and years to come as you serve him here. I'll turn the time over to Brother Dale at this point.
Thank you, Bob and Larry, for taking your part this morning. Thank you to all of you for being here, and I just pray that you would continue to be in prayer for our service tonight, for Curtis and Alyssa. I realize this is a big day, and so I'm not going to say much more. There's a lot going on, and some of you need to get home and take a nap. Let's stand, and we're going to ask Brian to lead us in a song, and then Harley and Janice are going to stay up here. And if you would like to come by and greet them, we're going to do it that way instead of at the back. The back gets plugged up real quick, so we'll keep the plug up here instead of back there. So, Brian, go ahead.
Thank you.